Now we come to a reading for Advent Sunday, and I want you to bear with me on this reading, because it's from the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. It's probably a reading that you all go to and you go, oh, skipping that one, let me get to the action. And you don't realise just exactly how significant this reading is. So it's reading from Matthew. It's a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, his son David. You've all seen those programs on the television, haven't you? Who do you think you are? Well, this is the answer, who Jesus is. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. That's it. Keep going. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers, at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Matan. Matan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thank you, Joseph. Ed. Thank you, Ed. Get all these names ready. You've got to get them right, haven't you? So I don't know whether you've done your family tree. Well, that's the family tree that Matthew penned out for Jesus. Have you noticed there's a general election going on? Yeah. All these politicians, they want your vote, don't they? They're telling us, vote for us. We'll deliver your hopes. We'll got your dreams sorted. We'll put everything right that's wrong. The good life goes with a cross. And so it does. The good life indeed does go with a cross. But it's not that cross in a box. It's not the one the politicians want from you. It's the cross of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Matthew writes his gospel so that we can know that. And that's where he starts at his sense of the beginning. I don't know about you, but I have, and I suspect that many of you have you cried out in the night amidst the tears of agony that's afflicting your life? Come on, God, heal me, heal my hurts, do something. Why have you let this rotten thing happen to me? Rescue me, O Lord, deliver me. Come on, God, get involved. And what Matthew writes in his gospel is to tell us God has indeed got involved. He is with us. That's Jesus' name, Emmanuel. The question is actually not, will God get involved? The question is, will you desire to go with him? God's got involved. Abraham's life was empty. I don't know how old you are. I'm not going to ask you. Ladies, I want to get home safely. He had a home. He had a family of mum and dad and brothers and a nephew. But what neither he nor Sarah had was a child. He didn't have any children. He was empty. He was 75 years old. He was empty. It had a long life, but it had no future. And then God got involved. He made him an offer. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. You know, you may never have thought about it, but there are three dynamics that drive your life. Faith, hope, and love. Here, God gets involved with Abraham and speaks all of these things into his life and Sarah's life. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. And what's more, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Well, I don't know about you, but I think a great nation comes from the very first baby.
Yes.
So when Abraham hears this, he goes, me, I'm going to be a great nation. Oh, I'm going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby, Sarah. We're going to have a child. And he's saying, come with me. I'll show you where we're up. Come on, pack that tent, get those camels, get everybody together. We are off. We are off to where he has taken us to, because he's put hope in our lives. He stirred up faith in him, and love is going to see us through. Now, we know it took 25 years. It took 25 years because faith, you know, it's got to be tested, it's got to be challenged, it's got to be sorted, it's got to be delved, it's got to be deep, and it's got to be real. It's not just the faith that on Christmas Day I'm going to get that bicycle. It's the faith that says when life goes bad, I'm still going to be in there because God is in there for me. God offers Abraham love and hope. And Abraham seizes that hope. He and Sarah seize that hope. They trust in him. They step out into faith. Now, we're not going to tell his story, but you read his story and you'll see Abraham, oh, he makes a few boo-boos along the way. But the baby comes. The faith and the hope and the love are answered. And the baby's name is Isaac. It was on the list. Abraham, Isaac, and the nation begins. Jacob, all the 12 sons of Jacob. And then Judah. Oh, dear, Judah. Judah, well, gosh, Judah was well blessed by Joseph. He said this, you know, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. Here's a promise that Jesus the Christ is going to be born of the line of Judah. But Judah, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. We're not going to go into the story. Go and read it in Genesis. But Judah has a thing with Tamar, who he shouldn't have. Tamar's not a Jew. Tamar's a daughter-in-law. But through Judah going wrong, Tamar has two sons. One of whom is Perez, who's in that line. It's really important to remember this. You know, God doesn't come to say, show me the perfect people, I want them. He says, you may not know me, but I know you. You may not be perfect, but I can bring you into my line. I can make perfection through you. The scepter will never pass for the one who is coming through you. And then, of course, David comes to a climax. There's King David. I hope you've all heard of King David. I hope you heard of David, the great King David, the shepherd boy who slew Goliath, the one who brought Israel together in a great nation, who wanted to build a house for God, a temple. He says, look, I've got a great house. I should build you a house, Lord. And the Lord says to him, I don't want you to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house. That's a royal line. You know, the house of Windsor, the house of Stuart, the house of Tudor. I'm going to build you a house of David. And from you is going to come a king who's going to live forever. And the throne will never pass from him. That's why Matthew says, Jesus, son of Abraham, son of David. That's why Matthew gets big on David being the king. Oh, dear David. David, David, David. A man after God's own heart. And what do we read? One hot summer night, David went wrong with Bathsheba. And not just went wrong with her, he even organized the murder of her husband so he could marry her. I mean, David. These are not perfect people. These are people like you and me. Perhaps you haven't murdered anybody, but Jesus says you can murder somebody in your thoughts. And that counts just as much before God as murdering them with your hands. And then Matthew follows the story through. He follows the history through. And you know what? These kings he's talking about, some of them are great and some of them are duffers. Some of them are faithful and some of them hate the Lord. And it all goes wrong and Israel is smashed into pieces and taken over by Babylon. The kings fail the kingdom. Israel's exiled. It's disaster city. It's worse than your football team getting relegated from the Premier League. It's worse than whatever you think could happen to you in your life. This is disaster. That's when the words were first penned. Rachel is weeping over her children and could not be consoled. But yet, Matthew says, after the exile, the line through David still continued. Here it is, here it is, here it is, here it is. And you know what? It comes to another man called Jacob. And then it comes to another man called Joseph. And he's a carpenter. And this Joseph, well, he marries Mary. Mary, of whom was born Jesus Christ. None of this begatting. Abraham begat, Jacob begat, David begat. Joseph did not begat Jesus. This is an act of God. Read on, read on. The boy conceived in you to be born, the boy conceived in Mary to be born, is of the Holy Spirit. God got involved. He made a promise. God's the ultimate promise keeper. He keeps his promise. He worked through all our bad stuff and our good stuff to bring the Christ. See, and all this story, when you read it, you realise this, you know, the Jews of those days, I'm very sad about this, but it's true, used to get up and pray in the morning and say, God, thank you for not making me a woman. And, you know, they couldn't even be bothered to ask because they were trash. But, you know, God works through women. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Mary. God works through the Gentiles. All these women, they were Gentiles, they were not Jews. The idea that Mary is sinless and some sort of pure person, never sinning in her entire life, is completely silly. The whole point is that this line is a line of ordinary folks like you and me. It doesn't matter that some were kings. It doesn't matter that some were carpenters. It doesn't matter that some owned a lot of camels and others didn't. The point was, they were called by God to have a role in the destiny that leads to Jesus. God got involved. God got involved in the dust and the dirt of our life. God got involved in the pain and the agony. God got involved in, you know, some children in this church, they're teething. You know, Jesus teethed. God got involved. Jesus fed at Mary's breast. God got involved. Jesus knows what it's like to lose your human dad, his adoptive dad, Joseph. God got involved. God got involved to rescue us. God got involved to give us new hearts. God got involved so that everyone who turns to him can know his great love. God got involved. And the invitation we're making to ourselves this year is, will you dare to come with us? I don't know if you live in Polesworth, but you live somewhere. And then when you walk the streets of Polesworth, when you walk the streets of where you are, what do you see? You see Christmas lights and televisions blazing. It's amazing how many people leave their curtains open. Oh, that's what they watch, is it? It's Christmas lights and televisions blazing. The lights of the good news of Jesus Christ are shining on the outside of their houses. But inside, Their lights are fixated on the fake news of the world, the false hope, the temporary release. Outside, the good news of the light of the world. Inside, the darkness is deepening and hugging them. And they don't know it, because the captain of the darkness, he doesn't bother to tell them. Satan doesn't go around, sorry, you're in a very bad place, you're going to be really bad, you won't want to be there. He says, come with me, watch the telly, it's all going to be great. Sometimes people say the church isn't relevant. But God's got involved, and you can't get more relevant than that. The question is, will you dare to go with him? See, are you distressed by what's happening to children, young people and adults? Is God stirring up your heart? Are you distressed by the scourge of loneliness and suffering and sorrow in people's hearts? Are you distressed by the evil you see around you, claiming our children in county gangs, violence in schools, abuse in homes? Do these things disturb you and distress you? God is getting involved with your heart. He's stirring you up. As he answered Abraham, as he answered David, as he answered Mary, for every young Jewish girl prayed to be the mother of the Messiah. Trust in me, he says. Trust in me. Put your hopes in me, he says. Open your heart to me, he says. Dare to get involved with me. Turn to me, for my kingdom is at hand. Why do you say, God, do something, and yet when I call you to bless the poor, to bring freedom to the prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of my favor, why, when I call you to say, get involved with me and we'll do these things, why do you go, oh no, sorry, EastEnders is on tonight, oh no, I've got to watch the football match, now I've got to put my money on the lottery. Why, when God is stirring up your life to transform the world around you into a sense of the kingdom of God, do you go, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, let's go to Tesco's or Aldi's or wherever you shop? God's got involved. God's here with us. He's not far away. He's here with us. He's within you, stirring up your heavenly discontent. He's breaking down the barriers between nations and people. You know, there are more Christians in Nigeria than there are members of the Anglican Church, more Anglican Christians in Nigeria than there are Anglicans in this country. There are more Christians in China than there are people in this country. God is breaking down the barriers. God is reaching out to the lost and the lonely, the persecuted, the desperate, the trapped. Jesus Christ is involved. He's involved in the dirt and the dust and the hurt of human life. So the question is this. He's involved with you. He's calling to you. Will you dare to go with him? Will you dare to go with us? Amen. I invite you to a moment's silence before we pray and sing, "Our eyes have seen the glory of our Saviour, Christ the Lord."